love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're just getting ready for your first 5 or 10K, join Sean, Jason, and Steven, three average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Average Runner Podcast. I'm Steven, and this month we have a little different show as Sean and Jason are on a romantic beach getaway together with their wives, I might add. So I asked my good friend Andy, aka the doctor, to join me. So Andy, would you care to tell the story of the doctor, or should I?
No, I can go ahead and tell that. It's quite an introduction to myself, to everyone that's listening out there. I guess the story begins with I came home from a hot run, and I think everyone that's out there realizes that, you know, us guys, you know, we have to have a little bit of nipple protection out there, so that way we don't get any chafing going on. And so I come home from a hot run and come into the house, and I just sat down, hadn't taken a shower yet, and took my shirt off, and then all of a sudden I hear this knock on the door. And so I go to the door, and here's the UPS guy that's standing there, and I'd forgotten that I had my nipple band-aids on. And so he just kind of looks at me, he looks down, he looks back at me, and you know, that's not really the funny part, that I had the band-aids on there. The funny part was I had run out of my normal band-aids, and so I had used my son's Doc McStuffins band-aids to get me by for the day. And I love the reaction of,
I still laugh.
I know. I love the reaction of the UPS guy, that he just looks at me, he looks down, he looks back up, and then just hands me the little thing to sign, and then just turns around and walks away. He didn't want anything more to do with me then.
Yeah, every time I'm in the store and I see Doc McStuffins or even other cartoon band-aids, I'm like, man, I just need to buy these and send them to Andy. But I love that story. But anyway, so you and I have been running almost exactly the same amount of time.
Yeah.
We did the same first marathon together, mm-hmm. and several other runs. Even though we didn't meet then, we found out later we were kind of doing the same races.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you tell me, how did you get into running? Because like me, you were a former fatty too, right?
Yeah. I was topping out above 300 pounds, and it was one of those deals where I just, you know, the short story of this is, because we have other things to get to, but the short story is, you know, I just decided I didn't have to live my life that way anymore. And I had a good friend of mine who just happens to be my doctor, and I was in his office one day, and at that point, I'd already lost some weight. I'd already lost about 60 pounds at that point, you know, at his urging, and also, you know, my own just determining that I needed to do something different with my life and get healthy. And he said, hey, I'm thinking about starting this running group, and I think you should join. And so I thought, well, I guess if you'll fix my sinus infection, which is what I was in there for, I'll do anything you ask. And so after a while, I ended up continuing to work out, ride my bicycle, walk a little bit, and then it was about 6 months later whenever the group actually started. And so we got together for the group, and I was thinking we were going to run a 5K or something like that, and he said, no, this is a half marathon training group. And I mean, I just about turned around and walked out at that point, because I just thought, you know, there's absolutely no way. And it's kind of like whenever everyone begins their running journey or some sort of fitness journey, you know, they see themselves as this, some sort of, you know, inferior person in terms of, you know, what they compare themselves to other people who they either, you know, think are impressive or think do amazing things. And I just thought, you know, I just couldn't see myself, you know, that type of person, because those types of goals are just impossible. But you know, I showed up the first night. I can't tell you how many nights that we would run a mile or run a mile and a half, and I just thought, I can't do this. This is silly. And just, you know, eventually just kept sticking with it and kept sticking with it. And I was fortunate enough to be involved with a very, very supportive group of people. There were about 20 of us, and it was various different types of experiences, all the way from people who were just beginning just like me, all the way up to people who had run you know, 5Ks, 10Ks, maybe a few that run a half marathon. There's just a handful of people that run, you know, marathons. And I just thought, oh my gosh, these people are the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. I can't even imagine going, you know, running for that far and that long. But we became a really close-knit group. And I think that's one of the cool things about if you do get involved with a running group, or even if you're not involved in a running group, you can experience that same thing in the running community that you're in and going to races, that even those people that you think who are, you know, these amazing athletes that do amazing things that you can't really, you know, believe that you can do. Well, they're so supportive of you, and because they've been there at that point themselves, and it's amazing how you develop as a person with these people, and eventually the things that they're doing, you get yourself into a position to where you can see that, hey, I can do this. I can get into these levels of competition or distance that they do, and you just kind of keep pushing that envelope, and then all of a sudden, you know, you do that first 5K, and I always call the 5K the gateway drug, and then, you know, you and then it's like, well, maybe I can try that 10K, and then all of a sudden you're training for your first marathon, and you just do it. And so it's such a, that's kind of my short story. There's a lot more that goes into it. I think really just to kind of top off my story, you know, my doctor that actually got me into taking that first running step, you know, 2 years later, we towed the line at the St. Louis Marathon, you know, you had the sun coming up in the morning, and you know, you were there. I tried to find you, couldn't find you, but there was 15,000 other people there. So, but you know, watching that sun come up behind the arch and at that start line, just kind of looking over at my friend that, you know, started me on this whole running fitness journey, toeing the line with me to run my first marathon side by side. I mean, is a pretty neat experience and just kind of example of what the running community is like.
Yeah, I've found the same thing. Nothing but total support. Now, knowing you, it interesting. Andy and I live just a little over an hour away, hour and a half away from each other, and it took the magic of the internet for us to meet on a running group. A good friend of ours, Denny Cray over at the Diz Runs. You check him out. But yeah, we got to talking on there, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, hey, you're a fellow hillbilly. So we eventually did meet at a 50K run. I think that was our first meeting.
Yeah, it was.
We had fun at. That was definitely interesting. So I know from some of your posts and stuff, you're now going, you're trying to be one of those speed demons on the half marathon. What motivated you to try to make that like your race to try to dominate?
Well, I'd kind of almost finding myself as a runner, finding what I like and finding what inspires me. And, you know, you and I both had the same path, and that was the path of kind of working your way up to a marathon. And then we both kind of converged and met at that 50K distance there where we had that amazing experience. And that really, truly what it was, you know, if I would have to say, probably one of my greatest running experiences would probably be that 50K, just because of the uniqueness of it. And I think, you know, we had a coming together as people, we also had a little bit of a divergence at that point, to where I think that you kind of found that inspiration of moving more towards the trails and more towards the ultra distances, with you moving on to, you know, doing a 50 mile. Now you have the goal of doing the 100 miler. And while I really enjoyed that, and I definitely see another ultra in my future, at that point, I really realized that, you know, I like the traditional distances, the traditional road distances, and that's something that I really enjoyed. And so I continued on, did another couple marathons after that, and really felt like with this last marathon that I had in May that, you know, I'd done really what I needed to do. I'd got to the point in the marathon to where I found myself comfortable with the distance, not really the fastest that I want to get or the goal time that I want, but I found that distance has become something that I feel like that I can comfortably do, and it's not something that's going to stress me out. So it's like, well, I want to get faster. What's the best way to get faster? And I've had some people tell me that, well, you can just kind of keep plugging away at that distance. You can keep getting better at your times. And, well, I decided to do something just a little bit different and take a little bit different route to that. I'm going to go back to the half marathon, and I'm going to try to really nail that time and get that time a lot better, and then go back and revisit the marathon. I would love to get into that hour and 30 minute time. And there's a reason behind that. It's not something I guess I might as well put it out there. I mean, if you want to have a goal, then it needs to be something that's big and scary, and go ahead and get it out there. But, you know, I would love to run the Boston Marathon. I just think that would just be absolutely amazing to do. And so I look at that hour and a half marathon time, and I see that pace that I have to run, which is going to be around that, you know, 6:50 to 7 minute pace. And whenever I break that down to 13.1, then I really feel like that's kind of more doable. You see these things that are big goals out there, and I guess the first time that, you know, you think about doing something like the Boston Marathon, it's like, oh, that would be really fun to do. So, you know, oh, you have to qualify for that? You can't just sign up for it? And so, you know, you get online, you Google, and then you see those qualifying times on there, and you go, whoa, there's no way I can do that. And then, you know, you get a little more experience, and then you start to see that, oh, hey, you know, I can't do that right now. But if I do A, B, and C, then all of a sudden, that seems possible. And so, yeah, you really do. And so I look at, you know, maybe goal A is going to be, well, let's do a half marathon in an hour 30. And then I know that, you know, okay, I've made that first step. This is something that's possible. And it's not something that's just a dream that, you know, I can't achieve. And then, you know, maybe goal B is going to be, okay, well, I'm going to take that speed and I'm going to turn that into a marathon and maybe break that down to like a 3:30 marathon. A little slower, a little more achievable. You know, that's something that I can see myself doing. Then once I get to that point there, then I can go, hey, I just have to knock off just another 15 minutes and turn 40. That's going to help too. But, you know, then whenever you break those down into smaller goals, then all of a sudden those things that are big and scary seem possible.
Right. And I have to imagine, you know, that the name of this podcast is the Average Runner Podcast, or just, you know, Average Joes in Chains. And I know you have smaller children. So I have to imagine it's, you know, quote unquote, easier to train for this half marathon than, say, trying to knock out for training for a 50 mile or a 100 mile or something like that.
Yeah, it is. It's really tough. And I'm sure that anyone that's got small children out there, you know, they understand exactly what I'm saying, because, you know, fortunately I have such a supportive wife that, you know, she's, and we're fortunate enough that she can stay home and she's a homemaker. And so she takes care of the children, and she does have a stay-at-home job, and she can be able to work from the home, but it's part-time. But I'm fortunate that I have the ability to be able to get out there and train. I do make a priority that most of my running is done while everyone's asleep. So it's nothing for me to get up at 4 in the morning, do my long runs on a Saturday morning, still get up at 4 in the morning, do my long runs, and then go to work after that. And so that way I'm not taking away from family time. They know that, you know, husband's always going to be there. Dad's always going to be there. Dad may be a little tired, but that's the thing. And that's the sacrifice that I'm willing to make to be able to, you know, be the dad that I want to be, but also to, you know, make sure that I take care of my responsibilities at home.
Yeah, and I've noticed you really involve your children too, though. I mean, I remember them being there at that 50K, and you just ran a 5K, wasn't it, with one of your sons?
Yeah. Usually my sons are at most of the finish lines that I'm at, and if it's the smaller local races, then you know, I'll let them run through the finish line with me because, you know, everyone knows everyone and the race directors, they're cool with it. I think I do remember at one of the last races, I was a little busy at the finish line, and I told the boys, I do not run through the finish line with me. They didn't listen. They ran through the finish line anyway, and so they had a good time with it too. But yeah, just a couple days ago, my 6-year-old, which I take him to do fun runs, and you know, he likes to do those mile runs, and he's been begging me, Dad, I want to do a 5K. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's only 6 years old, but I mean, he's very active, and you know, he's very, very strong little kid, and he's always running and always playing and having a good time outside. And so it's like, well, you know, okay, we'll give it a try. And it was just a small local. I think there were 60 people that was signed up for it, maybe 80. And it was put on by our local cross country team. And oh, so the cool. Money goes to the cross country. Yeah. So I have no problem with, you know, spending $25 for him, and it goes to the team, so that way they can have gas money to go to meets and stuff like that. And so it's like, well, let's just give it a try. So we got to the start line. I put my GPS watch on him. He just thought he was just the biggest kid that was out there. And so we took off. And so, you know, I tried to coach him the whole way. And the last thing I wanted to be was, you know, Little League Dad, where I was, you know, pushing, you need to go faster. I'm not going to do that at all. I wanted him to enjoy it and have a good time, since it was just his first real long distance race. And 3.1, that's a long ways for
a, you know, 6-year-old
with little short legs. And so anyway, I was at the beginning, I say, like, slow down, son, slow down. You got to slow down. So anyway, I made him take a few walk breaks before he really wanted to, but I think he was pretty appreciative of those later on. And then he got to the point to where, you know, middle of the race, he's like, I think I'm ready for a walk break. And he would take one. And then I'd say, well, how about at that mailbox, we go ahead and jog just a little bit. And say, okay, we can do that. And I really didn't think we were going that fast, but whenever we crossed the finish line, I know that last kick, I mean, he was pushing hard, and I was really impressed with just the amount of with the amount of heart that he was running with, because I think a lot of it was he wanted to make his dad proud, and another part of it was I think he wanted to prove to himself that he could do it. And so I really truly think that he wanted to really, you know, prove it to himself that he could do it. And we finished at 39 minutes and 5 seconds, and so
wow.
I thought that was
good time,
pretty impressive. I think there was a time about
That's
3 years
awesome
ago I would
time.
Have loved to have had that. So yeah, he made me proud.
So in other words, you gave him a little taste, and now he's addicted.
yeah, it was just later on that that evening, which whenever it was over with, I mean, he did the classic runner thing that finished their first, you know, long distance, and I mean, he was kind of sitting on the ground panting and sick to his stomach and tired, and he had that look in his eyes like, I'm never doing this again. But we got home, and he's like, Dad, are there some more 5Ks going on? And so he's ready to do another one.
I think we're going to change your name from the doctor to the pusher.
The pusher? It's a gateway drug,
I tell
you.
It's a gateway drug, but that is awesome. So
really
tell
is.
Me, do you have any long-term goals? I know you said Boston, but is there like a, just, you know, the kids are older or they're grown and now you can train as much as you want, is there like that one thing you want to do?
Oh, you know, if I could, you know, rub my genie in the bottle, you know, I think that Western States would be just an awesome experience. I just, you know, that's kind of like the greatest non-race that's out there that your general public doesn't even know about. You know, you talk to a runner that, you know, knows about running, you say Western States, and that's just like, oh,
yeah.
But
I want to go. Although, yeah, Western States, you know, our friend Glenn and I were talking about Badwater the other day, and even I'm thinking like, that's a little hardcore there, but I think Western, yeah, me too. I would love to do Western. I know some people are complaining it's getting a little commercialized, but I'd still love to do Western. And, you know, it's funny. I meant to bring this up anyway, so good segue here. I've noticed on our Strava group and a lot on the Facebook group, the amount of people hitting the trails for the first time. which I think is awesome because I love the trails. I know you're more of a road guy, but I know you do enjoy the trails too. So I thought maybe we could give some tips for first-time trail runners. I kind of have five of them, although only four are really tips. The other one's just kind of some advice based on a couple questions I've got. And that question was, do I have to buy trail shoes? And my answer has always been, generally, no, when you're starting out, unless the trails you want to run are very technical or they're very muddy. But if they're nice, groomed, buffed out trails, road shoes will be fine until you decide it's your thing and you have the money to go buy them. You have a tip for someone wanting to go out and hit the trails maybe?
All right. Well, having not prepared for this at all for talking about trail running.
Hey, we like to keep it real here on The Average Runner, brother.
It is. Okay. This is going to be completely spontaneous. The thing about trails are you need to be ready for more. And I know that we did that 50K and we had the drop bag and I put so many things in the drop bag that, I didn't use, and there were some things that were in there that I wish I used. And if you have the ability to drop an extra pair of socks, I don't know what it is about an extra pair of socks to change into those, that it's just nice to, and I don't know if you get your socks wet and they compress or whatever, but to have a nice fluffy pair of socks in there that are nice and thick, and definitely thicker socks if you're going to be out on the trails, because that seems to make my feet feel good. And I don't generally have a lot of feet problems, but yeah, that's great. And a good hydration pack. I despise carrying water, and that might be one of the reasons why I spend more time on the road than I do the trails. Because if you're on the trails, I mean, you got to carry water. And so I do have a good hydration pack that I've tested out quite a bit. And it's a Nathan's, and don't be afraid to some of that equipment that you have, like your hydration pack or maybe your fanny pack or anything like that. Don't be afraid to modify it. If something's not quite right with it, then change it up. I've got my fanny pack that I use that I've got little pieces of duct tape around it. I was having problems with it chafing because it had where you pull it tight and has some extra little flaps there. I've just duct taped those, not heavily, so that way it's not bulky, but just so it's not flopping around, it's not moving around. I've got one spot in the middle of my back that's always a problem. That's around where the where it snaps together because it's got big heavy snaps. I've duct taped around that area with the exception of where it snaps together. And so it's still protected by my clothing. It's not right up against my skin, but it's still just that much more of a little bit of protection there that it keeps me from getting a little chafing there.
That's some great advice, not to be afraid to modify any of your gear. I know you spend so much money on them, you hate to start messing with anything, but definitely great advice. I think
I'll cut stuff off if I don't like it.
on my hydration vest, there is this one bungee strap in the front. It's kind of a loop. I have yet to find anybody that knows what it's for. Other people I've talked to that have the same exact vest. I mean, I've like scoured the internet on, dark forums and stuff with pictures, and people are like, I don't know either. If you find out, let me know. So I'll have to post
off.
I'm afraid to, because I'm like, the minute I cut it off, I'm probably going to be like, oh, I needed that. But my other big piece of advice, I just gave this to somebody today who was wanting to transition from the roads to the trails. Or not, I shouldn't say transition, but incorporate trails, was don't go onto the trails with a road mentality. In other words, and I'm the same way when I run roads, I'm looking at pace, I'm looking at distance. And when you get on the trails, don't worry about that. Just worry about how you feel and how much time you're out there. I think that's the best piece of advice I can give, especially if you want to get into trail racing and maybe even ultra running. It's all about time on your feet. I know my running buddy here, Brandon, he gets so mad. He's trying to get into trail running more, and he'll always ask me if I'm running, and I'll say, yeah. And he goes, well, how far are we going? And I'll like, two or three hours. And they're like, well, how far? And I'm like, 2 or 3 hours. That might be 10 miles, might be 20. I don't know. But yeah, just enjoy it. Don't worry about how fast you're going.
That is a tough thing to change that mindset, especially for a road runner, because, you know, me, you know, I every run I have, because I am training for a time goal on the roads, every run has a specific goal that, you know, today is my progression run. Today is my tempo. Today is, you know, Wednesdays I go to the track, and that's my track runs where I'm doing intervals, and I geek out on that. I love that stuff. And that's, you know, kind of my draw to road racing that way. But you don't do that on the trails. If you do that on trails, I mean, you're going to tear yourself up, or you're not going to have a good time, because you're going to be frustrated when it comes to, whenever you're more like a robot whenever you're, you know, training for a time goal, but you're more like MacGyver out on the trails.
Exactly. Because, you know, if you run a, you know, a 7-8 minute mile on the roads, you're not going to run that on the trails. You know, I mean, I always said, for us average Joes, you know, a 10 minute mile on trails is really good. I mean, there's some that I run that, you know, if I can hit 15 minute miles, I'm like, woohoo, man, that's awesome. So, yeah, just run them how you feel. The next tip I had, and I think this one's going to be obvious for anyone that's been on the trail, but pick your feet up. And it's probably not a lesson you're going to learn until you've fallen flat on your face 3 or 4 times, but you've got to pick your feet up. Let's see, the next one kind of relates to it. Shorten your stride. You need to have a nice short stride, because you have to react to things. You've only got a second to decide, am I going left, right, under it, or over it? So definitely keep your stride short, and you'll be thankful for that.
So then a question for you, since you do more trails than I do, people are supposed to have 180 steps per minute whenever you're road racing, that's the best and most efficient. I mean, do you think that would still be true for trails, but you're just going at a lower pace, or do you think you should be increasing your steps per minute?
I'm kind of going to go back to that don't have a road running mentality. Now I can tell you, my watch will actually track my steps. And when I'm running on the trails, when I'm actually running and not power walking or something, I am still around that 180, you know, 170 to 180, but I don't worry about it at all. It just is what it is. I'm going the speed I can go. Oh, and my last one, I thought of one more. It's not even in my show notes. Your arms, you need to use them to balance when you're going downhill or over technical terrain. There's you don't want to do the six shooter, like when you're road running. I know nobody can see my hands, but use them to balance. I mean, I have video of myself. I look absolutely ridiculous coming down a hill because my arms are flapping like Tinkerbell coming down, but I'm not falling. So those are just my little tips on getting on the trail. I'm sure some people disagree or have others to add. You have anything to add to that, Andy?
No, I think that covers it all. I mean, you kind of covered a lot of things that I would have too. I guess the big thing, just like I mentioned earlier, is just be MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly.
Just make it up as you go, and have fun. I mean, that's what the trails are all about. It's just getting out there and having fun.
Oh yeah, you know, something I learned this weekend, and I have to be careful what I say here. Generally, when I've run trails, I've always been in Hokas or Ultras. I think like most people, I test shoes for one of the major manufacturers. Some of the people, those of you know me, know which that is, but I'm not going to say it here. They finally sent me a pair of their top of the line trail shoes, and they're nothing like Hokas or Ultras. And I love them. I don't think I'll ever go back in a Hoka or Ultra. A Hoka or an Ultra again. Because I was going through stuff where I would be tiptoeing in the more cushioned shoes over, and I just flew right through it in these. So I think this would apply to trail running or road running. try new things once in a while. You know, if you're convinced that you're a max cushioned runner, try some minimalist shoes now and then. You know, if you, and I need to take this advice, if you hate 5Ks, run some now and then. You know, you mix it up. Love what you hate is what I like to say.
And that makes sense, because I look at some of the local runners that are some of the best runners that are out there. I see them at every distance. Mm-hmm. I see them doing trail races. I see them doing, you know, 10Ks. I see them doing ultra marathons, and they're doing every single distance, and they're adapting their body to every possible situation that they could come upon, and tuning it into to finding those paces that they need to be able to compete at those distances. And then, and really it all translates back to, it all translates together, honestly, because, you know, if you can run a marathon, you can certainly run a half marathon, but you can be really good at a half marathon because that distance doesn't seem that long to you anymore.
Right. Exactly. Do you have any advice out there for somebody not running yet, but is thinking about running?
That's very interesting, because I'm getting ready to start a beginner 5K group at my church. Mm-hmm. and that's my run group started through my church, through my doctor that started it there. And so that was the half marathon group. Well, we decided that we wanted to kind of do a springboard into that half marathon group, because, you know, that's a big step to go from nothing to half marathon. That really scares away a lot of people. And so we decided to incorporate a 5K group, beginner. And so it's going to be, there's a pace for every place. There's going to be walkers. My mom's joining it.
That's
and
cool.
She's over 60 years old, and she's going to walk the whole way. And that's great. And we're going to have some people who are going to run, walk, run Galloway. And, then we're going to have some people who are probably going to run the whole distance. What we're going to do is we're going to make it easy for people to join. And there's a lot of people that I've, through my Facebook page, I've mentioned that, hey, we're going to do this and it's going to be great. We're going to put together a team of people, a group of people that are going to be supportive of each other. And I have a lot of people that'll message me. It's like, I just don't think I can do something like this. This is out of my comfort zone. And you just have to just, you know, tell people that, you know, yes, you can, you really can. Because if you can stand on your feet all day long at your job, then you can walk 20 minutes.
Right.
You can jog 10 minutes. And then that 10-minute jog turns into a 12-minute jog, turns into a 15-minute jog, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're able to complete this distance whenever you just add just a little bit at a time, just that every week, just 10% more.
Oh, yeah. You
know, every week, just a little bit faster. And whenever you explain things to people that way, then, you know, you have to show them that they can do it. Just like I was explaining earlier, whenever, you know, that goal of the Boston Marathon, that whenever you first, you know, learn that, oh, you got to qualify for this thing, that, and then it's just like you see that qualifying time of, for me, which would be 3:15, but, you know, 3:12 with a buffer. You just look at that and just go, shut up, I can't do that. But you know, whenever you break it down into those smaller goals, and it's like, yeah, this is something that I can do. And you just need to show that to people, and you just need to explain it to them, and also, you know, show them that you know, there's going to be people that are going to be of all different types of experiences that's going to be in that group. People who have run the distance before, people who are just starting out, and you're all going to work together, and that, you know, everyone is supportive of everyone. And that's what it's all about there. That's how you get people into it. You got to make them feel comfortable.
Oh, definitely. Now you're
one of the,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Just kind of a story back whenever I was beginning to start running. I had some junky shoes that, you know, just about crippled me whenever I started out. And it was before I actually went to a running store and, you know, got fitted and then got a proper pair of running shoes, because I had no idea what a proper pair of running shoes was. But I went into that store And, you know, as someone who was overweight, never, you know, ran more than, you know, just a couple of runs starting out in our run group. And I went in there and said, I don't belong in this place. This is a place for athletes. So I went in there and said, yeah, I'm just kind of starting to run. I need some help. And, you know, the guy that was helping me out was really, really nice. And he said, well, let's do a gait analysis. And so he watched me walk and he said, hey, you mind stepping on the treadmill for me? And it's like, well, I really didn't want to, but I went ahead and did it anyway because he asked me to. And I got on there and he turned it on and I started jogging on there. And I can say jogging, you know, runners right. are offended by the word jogging, but I can say that because that's what I thought back then. But he was watching me and I really truly believe that this was not a sales pitch from him. I believe him whenever he said that, I wish I had your feet. He said that the foot strike that you have and the way you hit the ground and the way your feet are shaped, that, you know, he told me that he runs 50 milers. And at that time, that was inconceivable to me. And he said, I dream to have your feet and your gait. And he said, whatever you do, do not give up. Keep at this. Because you can be really good at this.
Great advice.
And it goes back to, you know, someone who has a lot of experience that's speaking to, you know, someone who's nervous or someone who's intimidated or scared to get into the sport of running. All it takes is just something like that to just boosted my confidence. It just made me, you know, feel like, well, you know, maybe I do belong in this. And so that's one of those things that an experienced person can say to someone who is nervous about getting into the sport or don't think that they can do it. It's those things like that that may not be a big deal to that guy at that store, but right. was a huge deal to me. And then, you know, I'd like to be able to, you know, shake that guy's hand and say, hey, guess what? I run marathons and ultras now. Thank you.
That's really cool. Now, with your running group at church, I think I know the answer to this, but just for people that may be in the area, if you want to tell the area, that's fine. This is open to everybody, right? It's not just church members.
Yeah.
It's come on down and...
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and we'll take anyone. And what this is a springboard to a race that a friend of mine we put on, and it's going to be September 24th. And what it is called the Ranger Run, and it's a 5K and then a 5 miler, which we're just going to train for the 5K, but. We wanted to make sure that we have plenty of people that come into the race. This is the second year that we're doing it. And so we thought, well, the best way to get more people into the race is to train people for the race. And so, yeah, anyone from the community, they can come join and be a part of it. And if you want to put my contact information in the show notes, if you're anywhere in the Carthage, Joplin area in Southwest Missouri, you know, you're more than welcome to get some information from me and get joined up.
Oh, we will definitely do that. That anything to support people getting into running, we'll send them over to the doctor, AKA the pusher. You have all kinds of names now. Well, it's probably about time to be wrapping this one up. Is there anything else you needed to say, Mr. Andy?
No, I really, really appreciate what you guys do on the Average Runner podcast. It's really cool. I love it when each and every episode comes out. You know, there's lots of podcasts out there to listen to. I mean, there's ones that are, you know, slick and, you know, they're put on by professional athletes and, you know, they talk about a lot of stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But what does make a lot of sense to me is just getting out there, having a good time with friends and sometimes friends become family and, you know, you just doing the sport that we love. We're not going to make any money at it and we're most likely not going to win any races or anything like that, but we're going to have a good time doing it and it makes us better people. And what running has really done for me is made me such a more dedicated person and such a more disciplined person. And I can't thank running enough for doing that for me.
Oh, definitely. That's I completely agree with what you said there. Well, just a few things before we go. I would encourage everyone to check out our sister slash brother slash cousin podcast. We're not sure what we call it, but it's the guys.
We're from the Ozarks, so that can be confusing.
But it's the guys over at the Negative Splits, Sean's other podcast he's involved in. Feel free to join our Strava group. Follow us. We'll follow you right back. As well, we have a new Facebook page. It's the Average Runner Podcast and the Negative Splits. We combined forces there. If you go to our website, there is a link to Amazon. It's just a little way you can support the show. It just gives us a little taste, as Penn Jillette would say. And as always, if you would give us a review on iTunes, it helps promote the show. Well, until next month, guys, this is Steve.
And this is Andy.
And we wish you great running. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Rock the mic on the track of a famous university. We took the beat from the street and put it on.